Well, it's certainly a relief to see it come together, and it's been very, very nice. It's been somehow really therapeutic to just take this boat ride every morning and go there and have a little walk. And we arrived when it was still not so green, and within this week it's just become completely green, so we just see the whole landscape change, and it's been really, really, really gorgeous.
Wow.
And yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I've never really had a situation before where I finish a work and then I wait a year to install it. So it's been kind of a like, how do I get back to it? But actually it was very fast and very intuitive. And the sort of bulk of the installation came up very fast. So I've been really glad to spend more time on like the details and yeah, just getting back into the whole process. And there's a lot of elements to the work. So a lot of different things that have to kind of come together, and also a lot of people that I'm working with in a way. So it's a lot to put together. But yeah, no, it's been, I mean, it's also the size of it was, I built something much smaller in my studio kind of, or like as a fragment of the installation, and which was mainly, I think it was only like 2 or 3 meters long in my studio. And now it's the, you know, we've covered the full 18 meters of the tunnel. So like essentially when you go inside of the tunnel, you enter this curtain, and then you can never see this sculpture or this environment from the outside. You are just immediately inside of it. You become immediately part of it. And I kind of hadn't realized how strong and how visceral that feeling would be of just being swallowed inside of this environment. I mean, it was what I was hoping for, but I was sort of a year later shocked that it actually worked that strongly.
So can you please tell a bit for our listeners, where do we enter when we step into your installation?
Well, basically, my idea was that you enter into another kind of ecosystem. So from going from this lush island, you go into a kind of depiction or meditation on another kind of ecosystem, which is basically the human digestive system. Mm-hmm. And so this is a part of a gut. So we enter the intestine of Shelley. And Shelley is a fictional character that I've created, and that I also made a video about, where we can kind of spend some time in Shelley's life and then can actually go inside of her. We're in this space that's like her inner world, her underworld, but it's also something that's just generally a part of nature in a very clear, because I mean, most people now know that there's all this new science that basically we have trillions and trillions of bacterias and organisms, microorganisms living inside of our guts, which have a massive effect on us.
The other brain, as they say.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's actually, in some people, the amount of those bacteria, like if you put them together and would put them in a clump, they weigh more than our brain mostly. So, and they have like this direct communication with our nervous system and with our brains. And the gut itself, the intestine itself, has so many nerve endings that it's like, I think it basically has like a more intricate nervous system than like a dog, you know? So it's like actually, and the intestine can also operate alone, even when the brain is not functioning. So it's really like, it kind of changes the whole way we look at the human, because first of all, we have to see that like, there's so many sort of other bacterias and genes and influencers inside our gut, that there's actually, in terms of like percentage of cells, there's more of that than there are human cells. So in a way, when you look at the human, you look at this fleshy thing walking around, it's actually it's really only part human. and the gut itself, like the intestine itself, the digestive system, it has so many nerve endings, and they're in this dialogue with the brain that it's possible to communicate with the brain in a way that you cannot say that there is one without the other. When I started learning about the gut and the digestive system, I was really excited, because I've always been so much interested in this mind-body connection, and think that it's really a big problem in our society that we're so mind-oriented and not body-oriented. they are together. Mm-hmm. So the gut is a really nice entrance point for that because it is so connected. You just, as soon as you start reading something about it, you learn that you have to change the way you think about humans.
Definitely. That sounds really intriguing. I can't wait to experience this work you have created there. And Shelley, we get to learn Shelley as a person as well. And I gather that she is this very familiar feeling type of a woman who is stressed out and trying to find a meaning to her life. Am I right?
Sort of, but actually, I imagine like when people say, or like there was some part in the text that say that she's stressed out, that actually maybe what people imagine is some kind of a person who's like on really like high gear. But actually, Shelley is very, her stress translates into kind of a numbness. So we see her in this sort of moment of inertia or apathy where like all her days are the same and she's constantly just like numbing all of her feelings. And there's this flow of information from the outside world, particularly through this fictional news that I created in the video where the world's last orangutan has just died. And like in the film, everyone is like mourning this orangutan, which also functions as a kind of mirror of the human itself. It's another primate, another animal, just like us, very close to us. And she, her reaction to it is kind of like, she's just in this numbness. She just eats and eats and eats and kind of like just, she's just numbing herself and cannot really hold on to anything. And it's just a kind of a struggle of to not to feel, basically. Mm. And yeah. I think in many ways, this is what we do. Maybe mine, the video is a bit of a direct kind of translation of that. But I think in many ways, this is kind of what we do with the ways we're dealing with life. Now we obsess about one or another thing, or, you know, we put our time on social media or buying things or whatever, you know, we never get to the core of things and we focus on symptoms and instead of like looking at what the constellation of the situation is.
It feels oddly timely with the pandemic as well, when we have all turned inwards and we have started to feel really anxious, even though we haven't been touched by illness or losing loved ones or something like that. But we have all suffered a lot and felt maybe quite numb, as you said, and also not being able to handle our bodily reactions with the mind, because there's this imbalance, I feel like. There's memory loss and people are like feeling these weird aches. And what do you feel like? Did the pandemic bring some other level to your work?
Well, I mean, absolutely, like on a couple of ways. One way is that I shot this video in the end of February 2020. And at that stage, there had been just very few reportings in Europe, or it was kind of mid-February, let's say, of like, okay, there's some virus in you know, China, and our reactions being this kind of similar to always, like, oh, it's somewhere else, you know, like we just sit here comfortable. and then the thing is that the video basically depicts this like extreme alienation of this woman who's just like inside all day long, bombarded by news, and all she does is like heat meat in the microwave, basically, like various processed meats. And the thing is that everyone I showed the video when I was editing it, they were like, oh, like, did you shoot this during lockdown? Like, this is about lockdown. And I was like, no, it's actually not. I had no idea about lockdown, but it's kind of crazy. Like, I almost want to put like a sign somewhere, like, I did this before lockdown, but obviously I can't. But it's really like it's really kind of insane how, like, in a way I almost felt like the video became hijacked by this experience of everyone of being locked into their, like, you know, their boxes, their apartments that they live in. But on another level, if there's something, you know, positive to take out of a pandemic like this, is that I think a situation like this can really open for you know, larger institutions and larger just people in general, a way of thinking where we start to understand that we are really not alone on this planet. And for example, like, this kind of virus is now basically coming into our existence as something that's like starting to collaborate with us, maybe in a negative sense, but it is doing that, you know. It is like, we, you know, now we're all getting vaccinated and that becomes part of us. And so it's like, we really are just not alone in this way. And I think that the understanding of how big of a part the body is and how the body translates also all of the things we're going through, like, I think that's really makes it more clear. So in a way, the pandemic is just highlighting these sort of topics that I'm interested in.
Yeah, and this is not the first time you've been oddly timely when with your work Mutating Mary, it was really funny because in the center of that was the historical figure Mary Mallon,
yeah,
who was called the Typhus Mary, and she was the super spreader of her time.
Yeah, she was the first known super spreader of history, basically, of medical history. So it's pretty weird. Yeah, that was the work I made before.
Exactly.
Before this one, so it's like pretty weird.
Put the sign again. This was made before the lockdown.
I know. I'm kind of like, what can I do next that I don't like? No, that's too egocentric. It's not like I'm causing these things, obviously.
Of course.
But it is weird. Like, it was very weird to be thinking a lot about this virus. And in that work, I was really, you know, thinking a lot about virus and also like social implications of life, how those can become, like, in a way, viruses in the sense that they definitely like affect our bodies. The way some norms or ideas that we just assign onto, they start to also affect our bodies, the way we treat them, and which really starts also affecting us in evolution in a way, how we are, so like biologically. So, I mean, that work was very much about this kind of social pressure that women face to have children. And I really started to think about this pressure as a form of an infection on its own, like a kind of like, because people are so porous too, you know, like we seep in our environment and breathe it out again. We are in this kind of like flow with that in and out. If something is going on in society overall that is deemed to be what you have to do or your kind of destiny or something, it's very hard to actually do something else. Or even if you want to do the same thing, it's hard to do it from a perspective that you actually understand what you're doing. Or like, you know what I mean? So it's kind of,
Well, talking about body, it's really interesting how you have dealt with female body in your work, and also now with the Shelley's body. What do you think? Is this fruitful area for you to study the, I don't know, patriarchy or the world through female body?
Somehow, yeah, because, you know, there are so many, not just injustices, but like things that have been kind of normalized, and at the very, you know, there are so many different areas of oppression or these kind of problems. But of course, like, somehow one of the very, I don't know if it's weird to say basic ones, but like one of the very rooted ones is obviously the ones between like women and men, because it just like affects everyone, basically, you know. This thing just really affects everyone, and it affects how our societies have been built, and this thing of the separation between body and mind, and also like who gets to be considered more mind and who more body, you know, is a big thing, and that's also something that pours over into the way we deal with like other races or animals. So I think for me, yes, absolutely. And it's also, I am a woman. I've been, you know, socialized as a woman, and I am that. So it's like, I always draw from somehow my own life. Like, all of these works are, it's always a way for me to understand my own life in a way. So, you know.
Yeah.
But then I'm interested, you know, I'm just interested in what that means on a larger term, not just for me personally, you know.
Exactly. But like feminists say, there's always the political aspect of personal experiences. And when you dig into something that's meaningful for you, maybe you can touch larger audiences.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's important to talk about things that are close to you and that you come into touch with. It's very easy to say things from afar and, you know, post things online or whatever, but then feel happy that you did something. But I honestly, I feel that's a bit bullshit. Like, I really think people need to dig deeper, go further. And
yes.
because any kind of change can only come from like some form of like human self-reflection, you know. So if you don't start there, how are you going to change anything? Like, because it's the systems are what are fucked. It's not, sorry. Oh my God. So it's like, you know, we can't just like start attacking symptoms around or thinking that if we save like one orangutan that it will change everything, you know. It's a tempting idea. Mm-hmm. Like I also like often when I like, especially if I come home a bit tipsy, I start like donating money to like various like apes and stuff, like just to like feel better. But yeah. I understand that this is just like a plaster or some kind of a, I mean, I don't know. It's not like I'm trying to do work on myself. That sounds a bit too like high-hatted or what you could call. But like, it's more that I'm just interested in how I tie into all of these things and how we generally form our ways of thinking and behaving in the world and how we're very stuck in all these like patterns and systems that just have been given to us and they're really rooted and I don't know if it will ever change. I honestly, maybe humankind will die before there will come some other. So because I'm maybe not so optimistic about the capacity of people. We don't think very far and fast and we just want to be satisfied quickly, so maybe I'm a bit pessimistic.
it's hard to be optimistic during climate crisis and pandemic.
Yeah, but even I think even as a child I also, you know, I grew up in a family where we were very different. We had, part of my family is like not from Finland and stuff. So I've kind of always seen things like, I've seen a lot of judgment and.
But Daphna Maimon, your art is also known for, I don't know, it depicts still also the beauty of life in a way. It touches something deep in us. And I feel like you are a storyteller, but you don't control the story, that you are able to let go of your creation and let the visitors or the one who's experiencing your art to form her own story. Would you say so? Is that important to you?
Yeah.
Or what is the beauty of letting go of the control? Because your work is very much immersive or participatory. Yeah.
No, it's super important because I'm only one perspective and my perspective is really biased. So if I would do things that just tell people how to think, I would just be replicating like some messed up narrative, you know? So it's really important to leave some kind of openness and experience. Yeah. And I think I do look at my work as storytelling because I also always build characters and all like worlds, you know, like I'll build a character and then I'll build like also the language that's on the branding of the type of meat that she buys or whatever, you know, like it's like I kind of really try to like build these kind of worlds around like more like a round picture. I try to just like build a kind of world that I see that can be some kind of the way I feel how I am experiencing things, and then I see if I can like invite people in there and see what kind of like reaction that creates or what kind of like dialogue. Mm-hmm. I really like to play with the audience. Like I love this kind of moment where like people are a bit like, they're like, oh no, like, what's happening now? Or like, or that I love ridiculous moments where people just like cannot do anything but like kind of laugh, but not laughed out of some kind of slapstick, but more maybe because it is so tragic or because it is so absurd or whatever. I like to give experiences. I think the beauty of life is that we're here together and we can really experience so many things by being relational. Like that's also how we evolved, by being able to believe in things together, you know. That's what puts us apart from any other kind of animal, that we can create fiction. And we can, through this fiction, we can actually talk on planes that aren't just realistic, that aren't just this happened, does happen, but it's like, you know, we go to some other level. Like, so, but you have to leave space for other people to imagine. Otherwise it's just like dictatorial.